Turn back to Revelation chapter number 4, if you would, please. A Sunday school teacher was teaching his class about heaven. He asked the children, "If I sold my house and my car, had a huge yard sale, and gave all the money to the church, would that get me into heaven?" All the children answered, "No. If every day I vacuumed the church carpets, cleaned the washrooms, and mowed the grass, would that get me into heaven?" Again, all the children answered, "No. If I was kind to the poor, gave candy to children, and loved my wife, would that get me into heaven?" Once more, the children answered, "No." Then he asked the question, "Then how can I get into heaven?" The teacher asked. A five-year-old boy shouted out, "You gotta be dead." And how true that is, how children see things. You know, none of us like thinking about death. When I first moved here in 2010, looking for a job, and I got a job for a funeral home, going out selling cemetery plots. Never thought I'd be doing that. And so I went out there and knocked on doors and talked to people about planning their funeral. Imagine that, talking to people that are healthy, they're strong, and talking about them dying. They don't like hearing about that. And you try to tell them, hey, if you do it now, it's going to save you money. And I kind of got into that from Brother Bulkley Sr. He was into that, and he got me into it. And But I had so many jokes when I go out there, and they would joke with me about dying because they didn't want to talk about it. Nobody wanted to talk about dying. You know, really, when you sell life insurance, you don't call it death insurance. You call it life insurance because it sounds better. But it's really death insurance. It's when you die, you know, this is what you get. But we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to even think about what death is going to be like. And we just want to ignore it and hope it never happens or it'll be way down the road. But I tell you one thing, with this COVID thing that came through across the world, man, it hit us hard. And there was people that were dying that we never thought would die. There were people that were getting sick, I mean, that almost were at death doorway that we thought for sure they were going to die, that we never thought that would happen. And I think, at least for me, it helped me to realize how easy it is for us to overlook mortality and how that we think that we're just going to live for a long time. We just don't want to think. I'll think about death when I hit my 80th birthday, then I'm going to start talking about funeral, maybe talking about that stuff. But right now, I'm not going to. But you know, people die at all ages. Every age, somebody dies. And you know, that's just a reality of our life. When we think about the Christian itself, the born-again believer, to enter into heaven, he has to die. Now, the only other way of getting to heaven is if the rapture took place, which I would rather have that the rapture take place. But to be honest, if the rapture took place, it's the same experience. You're just going from one place to another. As we have experienced the effects that COVID has, many lives that we have lost, we can't help but think about our own mortality and how vulnerable we are to death. Here, John, the Revelator, the Lord is talking to him and sharing things with him about heaven. Now, there's some things that the Lord shared with him that he can't even share with us, some things he saw that he can't share. But what's exciting is if you get into God's Word, you'll see things about heaven that God allowed us to see. He has pulled back the curtain. He opened the door. He's allowed us to see these things. I want to just go through and read chapter 4, and then we're going to get right into the truth I'd like to bring out tonight. It says here in chapter 4, "After this I looked," John says here, "and behold, a door was open in heaven." And so God opened a door for John to look into, to go into. "And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, the second beast like unto a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, the fourth beast was like unto a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. And when we think about heaven, I think about this heaven's door, the door that is open to heaven. My brother Steve, he's a little bit older than me. He's about 55. A lot older than me. Anyway, but no, he's a little bit older than me. I'm 52. He's about 55. And his wife's a couple years older than him. He married a very beautiful lady, and she's a very sweet lady. And here back last year, towards the end of last year, she started to feel sick. She had gotten COVID, so she thought it was from the COVID situation, and started getting headaches and all this stuff. And so they waited till after Christmas. They came up here. We saw them. They went home. They went home and got some testing done, stuff like that. Then they found out that she had a brain tumor, a cancerous brain tumor, and then they found cancer through her body. She has stage 4 cancer. Very young, has kids, has grandkids, living life, enjoying life, a good mother, a good wife, and now going through chemo. Her prayer right now is just, her main prayer right now is just pray that I can just eat. That's all. She just wants to eat. She's not able to keep food down. And, you know, there is somebody there, and we're praying that God's going to heal her, that God's going to take away this cancer. But there's somebody there that is at heaven's doorway, you know, and we're praying that it's not God's time. We're praying that God will give her more time. But I'm going to tell you, the questions that lady has right now, the questions that she's bringing out to her family, the questions she's bringing out to my dad. My dad's a preacher, and she's talking to him and asking questions about heaven, you know. And she basically asks the questions, is everything I heard true? You know, she says, I might die. Is everything I heard true about heaven? Because that's where I'm headed. And, you know, when somebody's going through that, it just brings to reality of what heaven is, and that someday we're all going to be there, hopefully, if we're saved. And I thought about that, and honestly, this sermon was a sermon that if she was here, I would bring to her to comfort her, to help her understand that, yes, I hope God lets you live, and I hope you get healed, but if God chooses not to heal you here, obviously he'll heal you in heaven. And in heaven, it's a beautiful place. And we're going to see some things, I believe, that will be a help in understanding that. There's a poem, and I took part of the poem. I didn't write out the whole poem. The poem is written, Life is full of joy and sorrow, past, present, and tomorrow. Knowing life as I do now, I still have questions of why and how. I can't remember my very first day. Will I have any memories after I die? I like to believe we're all here for a good reason, and life upon earth is but for a season. With hopes we long continue on in much better place after we're gone. Pondering how very sad it would be if after I die there's nothing of me. I can't imagine how love ever dies the last time that we close our eyes. There's something deep inside my being that promises much more than just our scene. To me, there's only one conclusion: that heaven is real and no delusion. Since our time on earth has been for a season, why wouldn't God continue his reason? This heavenly place must truly exist, filled with souls we deeply missed. No more pain, tears, or sorrows, only love filled joyful, eternal tomorrows. You know what, when I think about this, I think about her, my sister-in-law, and I think about her family. And I can't even imagine what they're going through right now and all the stuff that, all the questions. To be honest, I don't think about death because I'm healthy. I haven't heard anything. But to imagine to get that news that stage 4 cancer and now going through all the chemo treatments, and sometimes it just feels so hopeless. And we do pray for healing, but we know that if God doesn't heal here, that there is going to be healing in heaven. And just like my sister-in-law Amy is going through that, I can only imagine that you have had loved ones that have passed away. Maybe you have loved ones that are terminally ill, that are very sick, and you know they're having health issues that is going to take their life short. And you know, when those things come in our life, we wonder, and that's when it really hits us. That's when reality hits us, when we realize that all the things of this earth don't matter. We live here to live for God. Everything we do is to be able to serve God. But we realize that when life comes, we can't leave it behind. We can't take it. We have to leave it behind. We all have a date on God's calendar. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. My friend, tonight you have an appointment for death. It's going to come. You know, as I get older, I think more about it. And, you know, again, I feel like I'm healthy. I don't know. Can't afford to go see the doctor, but, you know, and I feel like I'm all right. But the thing is, life is, it's like it's just a clock. It's just going by, and we can't stop it. It's going to keep on going. And eventually, you know, my mom, my dad's in his 70s. My mom is too. And eventually, if life takes its course the way it should and normally does, parents pass away before their kids, and I'll end up doing the funeral for my dad and my mom, and then someday my kids will do my funeral, and so on. And that's just life. We're all gonna die someday, and that's just a reality. But I tell you what, I would like to know what is in store for me, because folks, this is not life. You were born to die. When a baby's born, oh, how beautiful this baby is. That baby's dying. Yes, he's growing, he's aging, but he's dying. And he will die eventually. We're all going to die. I mean, you think about it. In 100 years, everybody in this room would be dead. In 100 years. In 100 years, it sounds like a long time, but it really isn't. And as we go through life, we realize that God has a place for us called heaven. And I would like to know more about this place called heaven. I want to know about it because I have loved ones that have passed away. I want to know where they're at. I want to know about that place. I have loved ones that are ill. And if something were to happen to them, I want to know about that place. And if something happens to me, I want to know about that place. But the Bible tells us that it's an appointment. It's appointed a man wants to die. No one likes to think about their own death, but it's something that we can't avoid if God tarries. Is death something that we should fear? When you think about death, should we fear death? I'd like to believe that we're all here for this reason that God has for us, to be able to go to heaven. But again, our purpose on earth is to live for the Lord. I'm here to live for Christ. I'm here. This life isn't for me. This life is for the Lord. Amen. Everything I do is for God. You know, it's kind of like a wedding. You're invited to a wedding, and you get to stand the wedding, and you get to be part of the wedding, but it has nothing to do with you. But you like looking good up there, you get a nice suit, and get a haircut, and you go up there and polish your shoes, but it's not about you. You're there to enjoy it, to be part of it, but it's all about that person getting married. And same thing when we think about our life on earth. Our life is not about us. It's about the Lord. Is death something we should fear? Jesus was comforting his disciples in John chapter 14. He says in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." See, a lot of people, they go through life troubled, worrying about things. They worry about their children. They worry about their marriage. They worry about life. They worry about finances. And one of the things that we have been worrying about a lot these past couple years, about death. I tell you what, death is something that is something that is on the minds of many people. With COVID hitting our nation and around the world, and people that have died. And I mean, people have anxiety over it, thinking about dying. But that is just a reality of life, that we're all going to die. Now, none of us want to die young, and we want to be able to live all our life and enjoy life, enjoy our kids, enjoy our grandkids. But the Bible tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And the Lord was encouraging his disciples. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And aren't you encouraged, as I am encouraged tonight, that God has gone to prepare a place for us? There is a place in heaven that God is building and preparing. And he said, "This is your place. This is your home." Amen. He says, "Your home is not on the earth. You're a pilgrim on the earth. You're just wandering through the earth. You're serving me on earth. You're living for me. But I am preparing. I'm getting home ready." Amen. I'm at work, and I'll text my wife, and I'll call her, and I'll tell her, "Hey, I'm going to be home at 5 o'clock. I'm going to be home at 5:30, whatever. And what's for dinner?" You know, and depending on what's for dinner, it depends how quick I get home. But I'm thinking about home. And honestly, no matter where I'm at, I love home. You went to Haiti, you look forward to getting home, right? There's something about home. There's something about being with our family. The Bible tells us that in heaven is our home. If you're saved, if you're a believer, this isn't your home. He says here, "Be not troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Maybe this evening someone here, you lost a loved one. Maybe there's someone here that is dealing with terminal illness in your life, and nobody even knows about it. And you're dealing with that. You're dealing with the reality of death. Brother Butler, I got some things. I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about that. Just thinking about, their health, and the reality is, I got something terminal, something bad in my life. I don't know how long I'll live. And we all hope to live a long time. We can't stop the clock. We can't cheat death. Death will come to all of us eventually, and we don't need to fear it. You don't have to fear death. Now, if I wasn't saved, I would fear death. If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't even want to fall asleep. I'd be afraid to fall asleep and die in my sleep. I would be so fearful. But as a believer, we can rest at night knowing that we're saved. And if something happens to us, that to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, and we know that we would go to heaven. Death will come to all of us eventually, and we don't have to fear it. Since death is a door we can't avoid going through someday, we should decide to embrace it and try to understand what it is and what it's like and what's in store for us. I'm not asking to die today. I don't want to die today. I want to, because I don't understand heaven. Now, if I totally understood heaven, I'd be begging to die today. I don't understand it all. But I know that when I die, I got a great place that I'm going. Amen. And by the way, the whole church, if you're saved, now if you're not saved, you won't be up there with us. But if you're saved, we'll be up there like this, up in heaven, in a beautiful place. But what is in store for us as a believer? Someone were to come to me and say, Brother Butler, I'm dying. I got this illness. Where am I going? And what's going to be in heaven? And what is it all about? I would share with them what I'm sharing tonight. The Bible says in Revelation 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. John saw a door in heaven that was opened to him. I believe that all born-again believers someday will see a door that will be opened to them and their dying breath. As they die, they'll see that door that will open up in heaven. And just like John, they'll be able to see through the doorway into heaven. Tonight, I want to take a peek into heaven's doorway and notice some things that I found about heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, why can a Christian say, I'd rather to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, if we understand what heaven's about? If I know what heaven's about, I'd rather be in heaven. You know, there's people in other countries that their life is basically hell on earth. I think about Ukraine right now and all the bombs going around and people getting killed. You know, those that are Christians there, they just want heaven. I mean, anything's better than that. They want to be in heaven. When I think about life and how I don't really, I mean, we get on 635 out here. I mean, that's dangerous. You never know when you're going to die out in 635. Just walking the streets in Dallas, you never know. Every day you get up, you put your life in God's hands. You say, Lord, it might be my last day. I don't know, but I trust you with it. As you approach the doorway to heaven, and folks, tonight I would like to hold your hand. I'd like to walk you up to that door. And if I could have had a door here, I would have brought one out here. But just pretend one of these over here is that door. And I was to walk you and hold your hand and open that door. And we both peek in together and look in there. As you approach the door to heaven, you'll notice a few things. First off, as you as a believer, when you die, you say, what's going to happen that moment that I die? I was in the hospital with a man. We called him Papa Joe. Papa Joe was my neighbor, a Catholic man. Never got saved, never got born again when I tried to witness to him until his deathbed. On his deathbed, he was dying, and I went over to his trailer and knocked on his door. It was Christmas time, and I said, hey, Papa Joe, are you there? And he didn't answer me, but I could hear the TV going on. I knew he was very sick. He was dying of cancer, and I opened the door, and there he was on his recliner. Beside him was a bucket, and he's been spitting blood all day into that bucket, dying on that recliner. And I sat beside Papa Joe, and I said, Papa Joe, and I've witnessed to him many, many times. I said, Papa Joe, I said, you're dying. I told him that. I said, you're dying. I said, there's only two places you can go, heaven or hell. And I want you to go to heaven. And won't you right now accept Jesus as your Savior? And he shook his head yes. And right there with the breath that he had left, he invited Jesus Christ in his heart. We called an ambulance. It took him to the hospital. And he was at the hospital, and it was on a Wednesday night that he asked for his pastor. And they were like, who's his pastor? I wasn't even a pastor. I was a college student. And but I was his pastor. And I went to see him. And there, I was there when he took his last breath in the hospital. One breath here, next breath in heaven. And you know, let me just say, as we look into that door and as you pass from death to life, what happens? As you approach that door in heaven, let me say, you will approach this door. As you approach that door, you will approach it sinless. As you die and you leave this earth, you leave your sins. All those sins that Christ has washed away will be left on this earth. All those sins, you approach that door of heaven sinless. The Bible says you'll be righteous. Righteous. I see as we approach that door, you will approach it painless.
as you're dying on that deathbed in your pain and hurting and struggling and I'm so tired of this pain and so tired of this and you try to get through it, and I know we have to depend on God to get us through those tough times and trust the Lord and He'll give us the strength. But if that day comes when God decides to take us on and we pass away and we die in that pain, let me say, as you die in pain, you'll wake up without pain. You'll wake up and you'll approach that door to heaven painless. Let me say, as you approach that door, you will approach it with joy. You might leave here on this earth with no joy and broken. And I think of people that are born-again Christians that all of a sudden they get dementia and other sickness, and they don't even know themselves anymore, and they're struggling. But then they die, and as soon as they die, they go from this earth to that door. That door is open to them, and all of a sudden there's joy. Joy that fills their life. Let me say, as you approach that door, you'll approach it with gladness. Oh, I tell you what, you won't be disappointed, my friend. You ever had a place that you visited that you told people they need to go there? I've had places like that. I'll say, man, you need to go here, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed. I tell people that about church. Hey, come to church. I guarantee if you'll come to church one time, you won't be disappointed. You will love it. You know, can I say that heaven's that way? Hey, heaven is that way. It's a place that you'll be glad when you get there. It'll be a place that you will click your heels together and say, man, I'm so happy to be here. This is a wonderful place. As you approach that door, there'll be gladness. There will be joy. It will be painless. It will be sinless. Let me say, as you approach that door, it'll be approached with thankfulness. Thank you, Lord. I can't believe you did this for all. This is for me, Lord. You did this for me. I've been to a lot of beautiful places. I've been, and by the way, America's filled with a lot of beautiful places. My wife and I, for the very first time, has applied for passports. Never had passports ever before. Never needed them. Never traveled across the ocean. Been to Canada. Been to Mexico. But never nowhere else. I wasn't got passports. But you know, a lot of places in America's beautiful. Can I tell you? Go to the Grand Canyon. Sit on the ridge as the sun sets. Amen. You won't regret it. It'll take your breath away. But don't tell me that's more beautiful than heaven. Amen. Hey, go down to the Niagara Falls, that beautiful Niagara Falls. You know, they brag over there in Canada that they have the biggest falls. Well, I tell them I'm from Texas. I have a plumber that can fix that leak. But Niagara Falls, we were there. And I've been there many times when the lights hit it at night, all those different colors. I've been behind the falls in those tunnels going down the elevators and standing with the raincoats looking at it. Beautiful Niagara Falls. But let me just tell you that does not compare to heaven. Hey, I've been into the Rocky Mountains. I've been into the Green Mountains of New England. I've been to the oceans. I've seen so much beauty. And it's beautiful, but it does not compare. You think about the thing that you love the most, the thing that you enjoy. My wife and I, we're enjoying being grandparents. You know, we take our kids for the grandkids' sake, but we love our grandkids. We love our kids too, but we love our grandkids. But you know, if you're a grandparent that loves your grandkid, man, you would die for your grandkid. You love them. I mean, they just feel part of you, and you give them your heart, and you love them so much. But let me just tell you, you won't love them more than you'll love heaven. Amen. Heaven's a beautiful place. Amen. Hey, you'll approach it with thankfulness. As we open the heaven's door, you'll notice something magnificent about heaven. The Bible says here, it says here in chapter 4 again, it says here, come up hither and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was like to look upon like jasper, a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. We notice here, as we open that door and we step into heaven, the first thing we're going to see is the throne of God. As you step into heaven, one foot on earth, as you take that foot into heaven, as you open that door. And let me just tell you, when death happens, you don't experience darkness. I don't see that in God's word. You don't have to fear death. when death comes and your family's holding your hand and you're there and you're ready to take your last breath, let me encourage you and let me encourage your family as you close your eyes spiritually are open to light, a light that you've never experienced before. You will step from this earth into heaven. It's a beautiful place. But the first thing we will see, the Bible says, John saw the throne. Oh, I tell you what, a magnificent throne in heaven. But what's greater than that is who sits on that throne, God Almighty. Hey, he looks and he sees, and he sees that throne, and he that sat on it was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. That jasper was the stones that Lucifer, before he fallen angel, had on his body. Beautiful. That's why he was so beautiful. These jasper stones. God, we see here, is sitting on that throne. And as John sees him through that door of heaven, he sees a throne. But then quickly his eyes shift over and he sees God sitting on that throne. And how precious and how wonderful as he sees the preciousness of God and the beauty of God. And he's not one when you see him that you want to run away from, but one that you look at and that you love. He sees the beauty of God. And then we see here that next to God, as you go through that door, you'll see the throne, you'll see God. And then you'll see something else. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, Stephen, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God," the throne of God. Amen. Saw the glory of God. And then he saw something else as he was dying. It says here, "And Jesus standing." I wonder if Jesus had his hands reached out to Stephen. If Jesus was saying, "Come on, Stephen, it's time to come. Amen. You've been through enough. You've been through enough hurt. They mistreated you. They've hurt you. Life is over now for you there, but come on home. Amen. You're coming home, Stephen." Amen. As he reached down, the Bible says that Stephen looked up and he saw God. And it says here, he looked fast in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open." He saw that door open and the Son of Man standing just like it was told to me. As a young boy, Stephen heard the stories of heaven and the stories of God and the stories of Jesus and how that the Lord would take him someday to heaven and how he would enjoy heaven someday. And there as he was being stoned, he said, "God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And there heaven's door was pushed open. Only he could see it. You know, they tell stories of people that have died and family around them, and they would talk about things that they said at their dying breath and how many times people would point up to heaven and they would point and they would smile and people would say things. They would even, people would call out family members they could see in heaven. They called them out. I'm talking about within minutes of them dying, they would call out family members. Heaven is a beautiful place. Here he sees that in heaven there is that magnificent throne. There is God Almighty. But God says, "Yes, I'm God Almighty, but my Son died for you. No man cometh unto the Father but by my Son, Jesus Christ." And Jesus Christ, there at that door, gets to open that door and reaches out his hand. As we step into that door, we see the throne. We see God. We see Jesus. Another thing we see in heaven is a crystal river. Revelation 22, verse 1, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Jesus says, "If you ask of me, I'll give you living water that you'll never thirst again." You know, down here in this earth, we thirst a lot. And I'm not just talking about water. We thirst for things. We thirst for love. We thirst for kindness. We thirst for forgiveness. We thirst for friendship. We go through things of struggles, of loneliness, we go through things of health problems, and we're constantly in need of things, and those needs a lot of times don't seem to be fulfilled. And all of a sudden God said that when that door is open and you take that step, You take that step into heaven. As you walk through that door, there is the throne of God, and there is God, and there is Jesus, just like he said. And Jesus grabs your hand and you embrace him. And as you're embracing him, you're looking over and he goes, there's the river they talked about. There's the sea they talked about. The crystal river. Proceed now to the throne of God and of the Lamb, that you never thirst again. Hey folks, whatever you're going through on this earth down here, heaven will satisfy. Heaven will satisfy. Hey, he said, Paul, he says, you will suffer things for my name's sake. But Paul, when he died, all suffering was gone. All pain was gone. No more pain, no more suffering. A beautiful place. We see that, can I say, as we take this journey and we open this door to heaven, we look in there and we see the throne of God and we see the beauty of God. The Bible says that no man can look at God and live, but we're not in mortal bodies at that moment. We're immortal. We have left this earth. We left this body, and now we're in heaven in a different body. We're there with God. I believe this. I believe that someday, the Bible says, Jesus will come back and he'll resurrect our bodies. Our bodies will meet our souls again. But I believe, as I have read also, other people believe in this, that God's going to give you a body in heaven, a temporal body, until your body is brought back to you. So I'm asking for a muscular body for that one until my other body comes. But you know, the thing is, in heaven, we see that there's going to be this river. And it's a beautiful river. As we take this trip into the door of heaven, and the Lord allows us to open it, we open it, this bright light shines out of this doorway. We look in, we see the throne, we see the beauty of God. Can't believe there's God. Just like my Sunday school teacher told me, there's Jesus. We embrace him, we look over, we see the river. The river of life. We see that crystal river, the beauty. Nothing. There is no river that compares to that river. And as we're there, as we take this journey through that doorway, we notice another thing in Revelation 22, verse 2. We see in there, in the midst of the street of it, it says, on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruit. I like fruit. I tell my wife all the time, buy fruit. She's not real big in fruit. I like fruit. And, you know, at nighttime, I'm out there sneaking, you know, some pineapple can, open up and eating pineapple out of a can. I just love fruit. And, but you know, in heaven, there's fruit that we've never tasted. It's fruit from God. When we get to heaven, he said that there is going to be the tree of life. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, that God kicked them out and he protected the Garden of Eden with those cherubims, with the flaming swords, and he said, don't let them come back to partake of the tree of life. They can't have it anymore. But guess what? That same tree that was in the Garden of Eden, I believe, is the same tree that's in heaven right now. And we'll walk up to that tree. The Bible tells us this tree, as we look over in the midst of the street and the other either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. As I take this journey with you, you say, well, I fear death, Brother Butler. I'm scared. Is it really what people have told me? Is it what the Bible says? I mean, is it really what we've been taught about this heaven? I'm scared. This door, I can see the doorknob is starting to turn, and I can almost feel that my life is coming to an end, and what's going to happen, and what am I going to experience? Folks, let me tell you that we can base it from God's Word, and God's Word tells us that there's that door. And as we open that door, as we look in and we peek through that door, we see the bright light coming out. We see there, as we look in, the throne of God, and we see God on the throne, and we see Jesus there. And as we embrace him, we see the river, the crystal clear river. And the Bible says, as we're looking at that river, we see the tree of life that we'll partake in heaven. we will notice that when we get to this place called heaven, you say, Brother Butler, I what is it all about? What's behind that door? As we take this life, and as you're going through life, you're getting closer to that door. And you're going through and getting older. And some people, even before we think they should be at that doorway, God somehow, for whatever reason, allows them to go through that door sooner. But we get closer to that door, and we're getting closer. And now I'm getting up in my age, and I'm like, okay, preacher, what's this all about? It's going to come eventually for me, and what is heaven all about? I need to know. Hey, preacher, I found out I got something wrong with my health. It's not good news. Everything that you told us out of the Bible, is that what's over there? Because I'm getting closer to that door. I want to know. As we get closer to that door right there, God says someday we will open and we will step through. The Bible tells us that door that we open up, as soon as that door is open, we'll see the throne of God. We'll see God Himself. We'll see Jesus Christ. All of it is true. We'll see the crystal river the Bible tells us of. We'll see the tree of life. You, as you step into this place called heaven, you will notice some things. First off, I see you will receive a mansion. John chapter 14, the Bible tells us that he tells us that we're not to be afraid. He said we're not to fear. He said that let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. God says, in heaven I have prepared a place for you. Hey folks, let me say, this isn't home. Heaven is home. And I got a mansion in heaven. And someday I will leave this earth behind, and I will have that mansion. And I look forward, just like we do when our grandkids are coming over, our kids are coming over, and we're so excited, and we meet them at the door, and come on in. And we know someday that we will have to go through that door. And then someday our kids we'll go through that door, and we'll look forward to greeting them. And, hey, come see our mansion. Come hang out here for a while. And then the grandkids, we get to bring them into our mansion and let them play with us. It's true, my friend. There's a place that's called a heaven that has this mansion. It's a place for you and a place for me. As you approach this place, you'll notice that there's a throne. There's God. There's Jesus, the Son of God. There's a crystal river, a tree of life, a tree of life that we can partake of and eat, a mansion. He says there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. God's not lying, and God would not lie to you. God says He's prepared a mansion for you. He's preparing it for you. How wonderful. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for someone else. For you. For you. For you. For you. For you. For you. And for you. And for you. And for you. For you. For me. He's going to prepare a place for us. I'm looking forward to seeing my mansion. As we enter that door and we see those mansions, what are these about? Those are our homes. Those are our mansions that God has prepared for us. What else is going to happen when we get to this place called heaven? The Bible says in Revelation 2, verse 17, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written. You know that song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. A new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. If I were to holler out a name, I don't know, if I hollered out a certain name in the church, if I said Wells, there'd be like three Wells turn around looking. Yeah, you know, that's why we call the boys by their first names and Pastor by Pastor Wells. I've been in crowds where somebody will holler out, they'll say, hey, Mark, and I turn, and there's like five other people turning. Who's he calling, you know, because we're all Marks. And that's rough, especially if you have a common name. I had a roommate in college, or not a roommate, but he was in our college same time. His name was Vardaman Huckabee. If you holler Vardaman in a crowd, they might turn just to see who said that. It's like, who would say Vardaman, you know? But that was his name. His mom wanted to make sure nobody else had his name, and nobody will ever probably have his name. But you know, in heaven, the Bible says He'll give us a white stone, and that white stone will have a new name. The Bible says here that we'll have this new name and written down, our name, our own name. The Bible also says in Philippians 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:44, it is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Praise the Lord, we're going to have a new body. The Bible says we'll leap like a deer. It's going to be a beautiful thing, this place called heaven. You'll receive a new body. You will partake of the supper of God when you get to heaven. Now, if you're not thinking about death and you're young, this sermon probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you. But if you're laying in a deathbed and you're listening online right now, this means a lot. Because you're thinking a lot about this right now. We'll have a supper with God in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 19, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. Hey, we're going to have a place to eat in heaven. We go through that door, what are you going to see? You'll see the brightness of his glory. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun. We don't need the sun there. We don't need the moon to shine in it. No need for you. No need for you. For the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, did lighten it. And the Lamb is a light thereof. The brightness of his glory. What do we see in this place called heaven? You'll see a street of gold. Revelation 21, verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. A man was dying. He said, God, he said, you said we can't take anything with us when we die. But could I please to be at, can I ask for my sake to be the only one exempt from that? Can I take something? God thought about it for a minute. He said, okay, I'll let you bring one suitcase. That's it. He said, all right, thank you, Lord. So he packed this suitcase with gold. He had a bunch of gold. He packed it full of gold. He closed the suitcase. He died, went to heaven. Peter's there at the gate. He says, what are you doing with that suitcase? You know you can't bring anything in here. He said, wait a minute. God made an exemption for me. He said, I can bring a suitcase. He goes, all right, let me check into it. He turned around, talked to God, came back. He said, yeah, you're right. God said you can bring a suitcase. By the way, what do you have in there? He popped it open. He showed him the gold. He goes, look at all my gold. And when he didn't say gold, he said, look what I have. He opened it up. He thought he was going to impress Peter. Peter said, oh, wow, why'd you bring pavement for? Up in heaven, gold is pavement. You walk on gold. The Bible says in heaven there'll be a street of gold. You will experience eternal bliss. The Bible says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. For our light affliction is, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Now, how do you approach heaven's door? Let me go quickly. How do you approach heaven's door? Approach it with assurance. John chapter 3, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can be assured that we can go to heaven if we'll trust Christ as our Savior, and we can live with Christ forever. Amen. If you're saved today, you can approach heaven with an assurance that that's your home. Amen. Let me say, secondly, we can approach heaven with trust. Psalms 56, verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Are you afraid? Are you fearful of death? I'm fearful of dying. I'm fearful. What's going to happen? You know, down here at the hospital, Dallas Regional, a dear lady back here as a nurse down there, and she was sharing with me this morning that they don't have anybody down there to pray with the patients. And a lot of times patients don't have pastors, and so she was able to tell somebody about me, and I went over to pray with the patient that is dying. And but you know what? There's something about having that trust, just that faith to know that, man, I'm going to heaven. Amen. To be able to have that. Hey, we can have that assurance. We can have that trust to know that I'm born again. Amen. And then let me say, you approach heaven's door with peace, with peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Hey, you know what? Don't fear death. I don't mean this in a funny way, but smile at death. Just smile at death. Just say, death, you don't fear me.
or death, you don't scare me. I don't fear you. Hey, death, you know what? You're exaggerating yourself too much. I'm not worried about you. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I stay here for your sake because you need me right now. But I don't want to be here anymore. Paul knew what heaven was like. And folks, tonight, if we can get this in our heart and we know what heaven is like, we wouldn't fear death. Now, I don't want to go on the next train ride. There was a guy in asking questions to some people, and there was an older man, and he asked a question, how many here would like to go to heaven when you die? Raise your hand. And the man didn't raise his hand. Everybody else did. And then he asked another question. He goes, how many here if you could right now be sure of going to heaven right now if you die, raise your hand. He wouldn't raise his hand. So at the end of the service, he noticed that he didn't raise his hand. He didn't come forward. He just sat there by himself, older man in his late 80s. He went back to the man. He goes, are you born again? Are you saved? He goes, no, sir. He goes, well, why didn't you raise your hand that you if you want to know for sure when you die, you're going to heaven? He goes, oh, I thought you were asking about like going right now. I don't want to go right now to heaven. And but, you know, the thing is, we ought to embrace this thing. It's not a bad thing. I think it's harder when we die to leave the ones that we're leaving behind. And you talk to people that are dying, that's the hardest thing for them usually. It's what are they going to do without me? What is my spouse going to do? What are my children going to do? It's going to be hard for them. There's a song. I'm just going to read you the words of the song. I was going to sing it, but I'm just right now not able to. My voice is a little crackly, so I'll just read it. Just joking. Anyway. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. I get weary from the struggle of it all. That's when I listen, how I listen for his call. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Philippians 1 verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart, Paul says, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that to be with Christ would be far better? Now, we got to live as we're living here. You got to keep on going. You can't just say, give up and want to die. It's not up to you to do that. God give you the strength to make it every day, no matter what you're going through. But I'm saying when that day comes and that door's open, don't fear it. Just say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to walk through that doorway because, Lord, it's a beautiful place. Hey, let not your heart be troubled. Don't fear. You believe in God. Jesus says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yes.